What you believe will determine how you will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us of why we are important to God.
And let me tell you, the problem in our human race is sin, and the only covering for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. And what we ought to be marching around talking about is the blood of Jesus Christ, and the healing of Jesus Christ, and the unity of Jesus Christ, and the covering of Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid a price he did not owe.
Do you doubt the value of your contribution? If so, you're not alone. Some of the greatest Bible heroes were considered non-essential in the world's eyes. In today's series, Essential Servants, we will learn about God's essential servants and how they made a difference. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Because we will become what we believe, our beliefs will prove to be a barrier or a vehicle to our success. God's desire is for us to go higher, to rise above our obstacles, and to live in health, abundance, and victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Vision is Essential.
I believe with all of my heart that your vision for this life will either flow from the scripture, God's revelation to man, or the world will slowly change you. Your vision, which perhaps at one time was crystal clear, reaching souls, living for God, raising a godly family, training the next generation, over time, seated around, during this time of waiting with COVID, during these awkward sort of smaller services, times of different times, it's possible that a woman's vision could change. Instead of onward Christian soldiers, some could have the vision of just kind of holding on till the end. I hope we can make it to the rapture. The Bible is very clear that there is a battle that will take place for the minds of God's people. It is also clear that there will be a falling away in the last days. There will be a time of delusion. There will be a time of mental, spiritual apathyism. We've seen that lukewarmness at times in our own lives, and we certainly see it in Christendom as a whole today. This is why the Apostle Paul said to the Roman church, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our minds must be continually transformed by the scriptures, continually transformed by God's Spirit working within us. If our mind is not being transformed and challenged scripturally, our vision will be altered, and many times our vision will become something less, perhaps even something opposed to that which God gave so clearly. We must never doubt in the night what God has given us in the light of His Word. His commands have not altered, they have not changed. The vision is not survival. The vision is to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Loving God, growing together, serving others, and we must not let that vision dissipate. We see during this time businesses affected. We see those in various industries telling us about the change of attitude. I read an article this past week about those in the exercise business, the places where people exercise, the gymnasiums, and they said about a third of the people have begun exercising at home, about a third of the people have given up and they're on a Twinkie and Ho-Ho diet, and about a third of the people are just trying to figure out what to do next, right? I don't know the statistics for the Christian realm, I hope that more than a third of the members of this church are reading the Bible and praying and panting for the Word of God and wanting to get back. And yet I fear that churches all over this land could become fat spiritually and apathetic spiritually and lose vision spiritually. And I say that we must not become apathetic in our vision. We are in the midst of a cultural change. Do you understand that there is a revolution against God in our land? So much of what we see, if you were to look deeper, it starts off seeming that there are sometimes legitimate concerns, and for those we bear the burden and stand with those with concern. You go a little deeper and you begin to find this idea that is against God and against Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. And you begin to realize that there is a lot of anti-God sentiment in this country today. The Supreme Court issuing rulings that deny the biblical teachings on gender and on the sanctity of life. There is a fight today against the biblical family. The teachings of the Bible clearly collide with the teachings of these revolutionaries, because God's word speaks about a husband and a wife and a mother and a father and influencing their children. And God's word clearly defines these roles. In Genesis chapter 1, God created human life in His image. Everyone is created in the image of God. God created male and female. And God ordained marriage. Indeed, a stable society requires stable families. This is God's plan, ladies and gentlemen. Beyond the tragedies of divorce, and I know many in our church have been divorced and remarried. I'm not speaking to your current situation. I'm saying that it is a tragedy when Satan tears families apart. Beyond the tragedy of pornography, Satan has now convinced a seeming majority of people that even the designation of male and female is unnecessary. This is how foundational the attacks of Satan have become. Last year in Canada, the Supreme Court of British Columbia ordered that a 14-year-old girl could receive testosterone injections without parental consent. They literally said from the court, if the parents try to intervene with their 14-year-old, that they would be charged with family violence. Society says that gender identity is up to the individual, even children, that God has nothing to do with it. Well, I want to say this morning, God created male and female. Even the titles mother and father are being repudiated today. The change is happening so fast. These, with their anger, are angry at God. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? Think of it. This is deeper than some of the issues we hear about on the news. This is a systemic hatred for God that we are witnessing in our culture. You say, well, Pastor, it's getting kind of hot in the kitchen here in California. Not easy to be a Christian. You know, people just don't get it. You're telling me there is an attack on things that are godly and lovely and ordained of God. And many churches are evolving. You're in a church that is endeavoring to stand and keep a biblical vision no matter what's going on around us. People are tearing down even artwork that depicts the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not a big fan of statues. Baptists, if you ever visit Europe, you'll find there's churches filled with statues. Normally they're Catholic churches. My Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's no statues in this church today. Come on, you can say amen through the mass this morning. But what does it tell me when people want to tear down not just the statue of George Washington, but of Jesus Christ. One man said, I think the statues of Jesus should come down, and all the murals and all the stained glass windows of Jesus. Amazing days we live in. And in these days, we need Christians who will stay their mind upon Jehovah God, who will stay their mind on Jesus Christ, who will keep their vision all the way to the end, like Caleb did. We don't need Christians with plan A, B, C, and D, and a parachute mentality. We don't need passive preachers or permissive preachers. We don't need to stand back and pander people. We need to preach the Word of God in this hour. We can never forget why we are here. God has ordained a vision for His church. Acts 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we came here to go with the idea of getting the gospel to every home and getting the gospel through our missionaries to every country. And that vision has not stopped. Amen. And we must keep a keen vision. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Dr. Lee Robertson told me many times, punch holes in the darkness. Punch holes in the darkness. You say, but there's a lot more darkness than there was 34 years ago. And there's a lot of power in the Word of God to punch through the dark days in which we live. Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy. They took certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You see, there was a time in world history when the truth of Christ was turning the world upside down. And now we have revolutionaries today that are taking away the truth of Christ, the Ten Commandments, prayer, and all that is sacred from our founding fathers. And there is a moment now in which we, as countering that effect, must take the gospel message once again and pray for revival in our nation once again. You see, the world will either change us or we will change the world. And many churches today are more impacted by the world than they are impacting the world in which we live. In order to make this impact, we from time to time must overcome our fears and challenges. And it is time. I've been a very comforting pastor all through COVID. I intend to be very comforting and kind and devotional and helpful and prayerful. But it is time for the church to go forward with vision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb had to overcome his fears. Others were fearful. Others were saying it couldn't be done. Numbers 13 and 31, he said, the men said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I'm telling you, folks, I get tired of hearing that. Well, there's so many liberals, there's so many stronger. Look at them all in the streets doing this and that. Did you hear what the news said? Really? Is that how it is? Hey, what about this? If God be for us, who can be against it? Where are the men in this church that want to walk up to their preacher and say, if God be for us, then let's attack the gates of hell. God is on our side. Listen, I'm saying today, we don't need preachers looking for another pulpit or another state. We don't need men and women in this church thinking it cannot be done. Your children don't need to see us in reverse. They need to know that there's a God in heaven and that He can still build His church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Now that was the introduction. I want to show you a few things from Caleb, if I may. First, his vision was a vision of faith. It was a vision of faith. I want you to notice in chapter 13 and verse 30 what he said. Let us go up at once. I wish I could tell you the stories of how this church has had faith. I remember telling the church, I believe we ought to start a bus ministry. It took faith. I said, I believe we ought to start a Christian school. Thank God the men of our church said, we'll help set up the chairs on Sunday night so the kids can have school on Monday. I remember in 1995 voting unanimously to begin a college. The devil fights that college in so many ways. You pray that parents would overcome their fear in order to see another generation of young people trained for God. I remember the early days of the college. Every summer we had no money, none. We had to take lines of credit. For 7 years, our deacon said, Pastor, if that's what we need to do to get it going, we're standing behind you. It took faith. And it's been a faith journey all along the way at Lancaster Baptist Church. And now here we are. And it will take faith to come through this year and to be stronger for it and to see God working in the midst of it. And we need some men in this church. And I'm crying out to you this morning as I preach, as I see you sitting in your home and sitting in this church. I'm crying out to say we need men like Caleb, who in verse number 30 said, let us possess it. We are able to overcome it. Every day the devil shouts in our ears, it can't be done, it can't be done. Look how bad it is, and some of us need to get our eyes off the television and up to heaven seeking the face of God. Amen. Caleb was a man with a heavenly vision. Numbers 13 in verse 2, send thou men and search the land of Canaan, and they did, they went out. But you see, God had promised this land, don't you remember that? God had said, this is the land for my people. Genesis 12, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget it. Genesis 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families be blessed. You say, I don't understand that. Why did God choose Israel? I don't know. I'm not God. And some of you say, well, I've had some Jewish people treat me rudely, and so have I. Listen, I don't understand all of the ways of God. I understand this, that he chose the children of Israel to be the apple of his eye, and he says the friend of Israel will be blessed. And you mark it down, these God haters in our country are Israel haters as well. But I want you to understand today that there's rage in this world, and much of it against Israel. And God had promised Caleb, and God had promised Abraham that he would give this land to them. Now listen to me. Faith is starting out before figuring out how it's gonna work out. That's what Caleb did. He stepped out before he could figure it out. It was based on God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Caleb's faith was blessed by the power of God. Think of the words of Moses to Caleb, Joshua 14 and verse 9. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Listen, Moses had said, that land is your land. And Caleb just believed God. And we need some men today that will believe God. Right? We're going to have to rise up, not just the pastor's faith, all of our faith. All of us believing God. Oh, listen, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I see in this man, Caleb, a vision of faith. I know what's happening today. There's a falling away. There's a falling apart. There's young people saying, well, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if I want to go to church anymore. I'm just not sure. Oh, yes, there's apathy. There's questions. There's denials. There's falling away. But those that are truly the born-again children of God have something, have someone living in them. And that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring us back to the Bible, bring us back to the house of God, bring us to a place of wanting to see God do a great and mighty work. There's a vision of faith. I want you to see, secondly, the spirit of faith in Caleb. The spirit of faith. Notice this in chapter 14. And if you would notice, for just the sake of time, I want you to see here, beginning in about verse 8, as we hear Joshua and Caleb, they say, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Do you understand that when the signers of the Declaration of Independence signed, there was no guarantee that they would live? Do you know how easy it would have been for them to say, I'm going to move back to England? They were wealthy men. Or if they didn't move back, they could have pledged their allegiance to the king. Instead, they signed the Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get all in for God today. Amen. And this is what Joshua and Caleb were saying, the Lord will give us the land. And that's what our forefathers said. How many of you are thankful they said that? So, did everybody get happy for Joshua and Caleb? Oh, thank you, Joshua and Caleb. Well, let's see how the congregation responds. Verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. There's the majority of the people, right? There's a spirit of faith here. Even in the midst of being stoned, Caleb made the decision to follow God. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. The day could come in corporate America, because we see what corporate America is doing. They're bowing down, right? They're bowing down to the revolutionaries. The revolutionaries are saying, you say this. You put this flag under the American flag. Come on. And corporate America's, oh yes, oh yes. It may get to the place where born-again Christians are asked to sign and agree with things to keep their job. Oh, there's protections at the Supreme Court to keep your job if you're gay. What about if you're a Christian? What kind of rights are they going to have in the future? I don't know. I'm just saying we respect Joshua and Caleb. There's a whole book in the Bible named Joshua. We respect these men, do we not? Yes or no? Why? Because they stood and they believed God when no one else believed God. There are people in this room, and there are people watching on this LBCLive.tv who are currently filled with fear. It's a prevalent problem in America today, and yes, with Christians too. Fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety plaguing people's hearts. And can I tell you, some today are fearing for their health. Some are fearing for their finances. Some fear crime. Some fear the M80s that go off incessantly at night. Some fear relationships. And it's not wrong to have some initial fear, but the psalmist said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. You see. Fear should drive us to the Savior, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Oh, how we need this spirit of faith today. When people start fearing, they start making some very, very wrong decisions spiritually. You don't want a pastor whose decision making is based on what I fear, except it be the Lord himself.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today.
Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.